Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, August 8th, 2017. And with me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. And Jeff Butts, I hope you are well, too.
It is a wonderful afternoon in Ohio. I'm doing great.
Excellent. I am so glad to hear it. And I'm glad both of you are back today, because we need to talk about iOS 11 some, because there's a new developer beta out, and we need to do some follow-up to yesterday's discussion about 4K Apple TV. So we might as well just hop right in, and let's start with iOS 11 Developer Beta 5. So for those of you that aren't aware yet, well, now you are. Developer Beta 5 was released on Monday, and so those of us that have no issues rushing in where angels fear to tread have already installed it, and it's running, as I expect, reasonably well on my iPad Pro. And Jeff, you are running it on your iPhone, as I recall?
iPhone and my 10.5-inch iPad Pro.
Okay, cool. And John, you are the level-headed one amongst us. You are not running developer beta on anything.
I have an iPad Mini 3. I'm itching to put it on. I just haven't gotten to it yet.
Do it.
I will.
Does it run on a Mini 3, or do you have to have a Mini 4?
No, it runs on Mini 3.
Okay, great. Well, that's awesome. Yeah, I installed it on a Mini 4 as well, and it's running just fine there. So anyhow, there's some changes. And Jeff, you found some – wow. Sometimes a sentence gets away from me.
You want me to finish it for you?
I would love that.
I found a couple videos – both of them are available on YouTube. One of them was done by Cult of Mac, mm-hmm. and the other one, I can't remember who did it. But these two videos are comprehensive looks at what has changed between Beta 4 and Beta 5.
Okay, so what are some of the standout things that you've seen from the videos?
Some of the standout things, if you deep press or long press or deep press the music platter in the control center, it no longer shows your iPhone as a speaker. It says that it's an iPhone or an iPad, just in case you forget which device you're on. They've cleaned up some of the fonts. Yeah. The camera icon no longer has any depth to it. They've removed the lines from the camera icon. So it's a flat icon again.
Oh, so it is. Okay. I'm flipping through my iPad trying to keep up.
Yeah. Other than that, there were some bug fixes that went into it, and those are in the release notes. But all in all, there are more than 90 different changes between
90
Beta 4 and Beta 5, and 90. Most of them are 90.
Wow.
Most of them are cosmetic, making things bold, making things bigger, adjusting spacing.
This is more like, as far as we can tell, like a refinement or fine tuning update.
It's fine tuning. I mean, of course.
Hey, Jeff. Have you fixed the dialer? I've never been impressed with the phone dialer in iOS compared to Android. The buttons are small. The delete button is even tinier.
They have made the delete button a little bit larger. Yes.
Good.
Yeah, that's one thing that did make it into the changes. Of course, we heard about iMessage or messages in the cloud disappearing. That's highlighted.
Right, but that's only a temporary thing.
That's only temporary, right? So, that's coming back at a future date.
Yeah. So my guess is that they found some weird problem with synchronizing messages across devices, and that they will either have it resolved in time for the official launch, which I'm assuming will be in September, but we don't know for sure. Or we'll have to wait for an update after that for it to come back.
Yeah.
I just noticed, as I'm popping through things, that Transmit now shows up as a files option.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, I wasn't seeing that in 4.
Okay.
So, so that's cool. All right, well, let's turn that on right now.
Yeah.
All right, so I just added Transmit to my files locations. That's really cool. All right.
What else did I find? I don't think they talk about this in the video, but I pointed out yesterday that screen mirroring has changed. And it now shows an icon next to your mirror partner, your available mirror partners.
Okay. So not just a name.
Right. Not just a name, but like, for example, the Reflector app that I'm running on my Hackintosh apparently advertises itself as an Apple TV because I see an Apple TV icon next to it.
Ah, yes, of course. So
yeah,
what that tells me is that it's likely that Reflector is identifying itself to your iPad as an Apple TV.
That's what I said.
Sorry, I was multitasking. I was looking at the...
You're multitasking poorly again. I see.
I was multitasking very poorly. I was looking at the icon for notes and lamenting the fact that people are saying it's a bug. No, it's not a bug. The dots are on the right because they can be on the right. In some languages, you read right to left as opposed to left to right. There are multiple versions of that icon tucked away. And so there should be a version where the dots are on the right. It just so happens that's the only one that's showing right now.
Another interesting addition, if you open your control center and look at your music platter, if there is anything nearby that your iPhone or iPad can AirPlay music to, you'll notice two arcs that light up.
Oh, they're kind of strobing for me.
Yep.
So that tells me that there are devices I can stream to that are available right now.
And if you deep press and then tap on the AirPlay icon, they've changed the AirPlay icon so that it now, when you tap on it, it goes to a play pause button, as well as showing you where you can stream your stuff to.
iOS 11 is sounding really cool.
Yeah. Hey, I can stream to my neighbor's Apple TV.
Do it.
Pick the right video.
Yeah. Or the right music.
I'll send you some good links offline. We can't talk about those on the air.
I'm looking forward to this. I'm also looking forward to the phone call I'm going to get. One thing that still amazes me is that in the control center, if I tap on like the Wi-Fi button, I still don't get a list of my Wi-Fi networks. Same thing for you Bluetooth. Don't. That's absolutely ridiculous. That's like one of the most useful things you could possibly have in Control Center. Tap and hold on Wi-Fi or Bluetooth buttons and see all the things that you can connect to.
Yeah, Apple's they're behind the times on that. They need to fix that.
Yes, they do. All right. So we haven't had much time to play with developer beta 5 yet because, you know, it's only been out for what, about 24 hours now?
Yeah, a little bit less than that.
But with that in mind, is this something that you're feeling more comfortable about using on mission critical devices, knowing full well that we should never run beta software on mission critical devices?
John? John's quiet.
I'm going to guess that that John's having some funky problem. Skype is
back. I'm back.
Okay. I'm just the wrong person to ask because I throw caution to the wind and I know that if I break my phone, I can restore it and get it back to iOS 10.3. Mm-hmm. With that, okay. So as far as bugs, I haven't found any major ones yet. The lock screen sometimes goes black when it's not supposed to, but that's... Yep,
I noticed that yesterday, too.
That's not a big deal to me.
Yeah, and yeah, I noticed it's really easy to reproduce that. If you tap the sleep-wake button to shut down your iPad, or to just make the screen go blank,
yeah,
and then tap it again quickly, your iPad will come back, or iPhone will come back awake, but most of the time, instead of seeing whatever lock screen image you're expecting, mm-hmm. you'll have all the text that should be there, but it'll be a black screen otherwise.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Other than that, I had a problem moving an app into a folder. Okay. But that wasn't a... If I held the app over the folder and let the folder pop open, I could do it then. But I couldn't just drag an app into a folder. I'm going to try it real quick now and see if I can reproduce it.
So, John, I know you said that you are champing at the bit to put iOS 11 beta onto your iPad mini.
Yes.
Would you feel comfortable putting it on your iPhone right now?
No, my iPhone is mission critical, and I just not going to do that. That's why I have the iPad Mini 3, so I can experiment without being mission critical. It's the device that sits on the nightstand, and I just use it for reading at night and checking the weather and stuff in the morning, so it's not mission critical.
Now, for me, I use the iPad Mini as my experiment device, so I install developer betas there first. My iPad Pro, 12.9-inch iPad Pro, is a mission-critical device, and yet I'm putting it on here. But like Jeff Butts, I'm totally comfortable rolling back to a backup if something goes horribly wrong on my iPad Pro.
I might also be a special kind of crazy. That's possible, too.
Yeah, and it's why I love you.
That's the specter of rolling back that annoys me, because that's time-consuming, takes away from... my reading and my writing, that would annoy me no end.
Yep, totally get that. And I'm waiting to see if any big issues crop up with developer beta 5. And if it seems like this is pretty rock solid, then in a few days I may consider putting it on my iPhone, even though that's a mission critical device. Because we're getting pretty close to what the final release is going to be. Apple has to lock this down pretty soon. If we're getting iOS 11 in September, which is what I'm anticipating. So, all right. Well, and any listeners that are thinking about installing the beta, follow our advice. Not on mission critical devices. That's where we will rush in and sacrifice ourselves for you, and make sure you have good backups first. Because if something goes wrong, you want to have something to roll back to.
Mission critical device includes your spouse's phone.
No, come on, John. I can make an argument that this may be a mission critical device, my iPhone. But my mission is to uncover things that might be wrong with the beta.
I like how you think. Mm. Yeah. And that's why it's on my iPad Pro.
Yeah.
All right. So I think we are getting really close to iOS 11 beta getting locked down for what the final release is going to be. So that's pretty cool. It's going to
We're about a month away.
So I expect we'll get a developer beta 6 as well, and then we'll see if we get anything after that. All right. So we need to do a little follow-up to yesterday, and we were talking about the firmware information that that came out of the HomePod leak that showed a 4K Apple TV. Well, today we have more to back that up. And this comes in the form of Steve Troughton-Smith going in and messing around with the tvOS simulator that developers use when they're testing their tvOS apps before they get rolled out for Apple TV. And he was able to go in and tell the simulator to double its resolution, which would make it 4K. And it totally works. So what that means is that the version of tvOS that he's playing with, the beta version, supports 4K. Now, what that means is that the display elements for the operating system support 4K. That doesn't mean that you magically end up with 4K movies simply by using this. It just means the operating system is totally capable of recognizing and understanding and outputting 4K for all the elements that it needs to make. So,
but we know the movies are out there.
And we already know the movies are out there. That's right. So we have the firmware leak. We have the movies that are already showing up as HDR and 4K. And we have the tvOS simulator able to simulate 4K as well. So it's looking pretty solid for a 4K Apple TV coming at some point, probably fairly soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And John, you got all excited during our morning meeting when this came up. So what's up with that?
Yeah. I got some tweets from people who followed the podcast yesterday and said, we're looking forward to it. Can't wait. Saving my money. I think there's no more issue anymore with having to buy a new device because the current fourth generation is, going to be 2 years old soon. Mm-hmm. Right, it was November, October of 15 when it came out, right? So
that sounds about right.
I don't think too many people are going to gripe that they have to buy a new device to get 4K and HDR and Dolby Vision.
Yeah.
And yesterday we were talking about hybrid log gamma. Can I follow up on that?
Yes, please.
You'd asked me about HLG, and I had my memory wasn't refreshed on that, but I did a little research. When you stream 4K video, say on Amazon or Netflix to a mm-hmm. compatible HDR TV, there is metadata that tells the picture how bright to be and the maximum brightness.
Okay.
And it gets even more sophisticated with Dolby Vision, where it's done frame by frame. That's because the information is pre-canned and the metadata can be tied to how the picture should look. But when you have live TV, especially sports, where you never know what's going to happen, the camera's angle, camera shots are constantly varying and the sun angle's changing. It's live and you can't do metadata that's pre-canned. So HLG is a way to exercise the inherent capability of broadcast television to bring about the features of high dynamic range using conventional techniques. So it's for broadcast systems, TV antennas.
Okay.
Where you and radio and TV stations that are passing around content for rebroadcast, where metadata would get lost anyway because there's no provision in the NT in the H, what is it now, for high definition? I forgot the. It's not NTSC anymore. It's HTSC. I forget. Anyway, there's no provision in the high definition broadcast signal system for metadata as there is for streaming, which is encapsulated technology that the transmitter can control and depend on having equipment on the other end to receive it properly. So that's what HLG is. And if you've got a standard TV that does only standard dynamic range, you'll still be able to benefit from it in the broadcast system. So that's what's happening there. And tests have worked out really well. And I found a great article at Tom's Trusted Reviews, that I'll put in the show notes. It's a very good introduction to HLG.
Awesome. And thanks for finding that link. So, all right. We're out of time, but John, knowing how much you dislike the current form factor of the Apple TV.
That's putting it mildly.
How likely are you to buy the new model, even if the form factor remains unchanged?
Oh, I'll be jumping all over it. I'm currently in the process of sort of sketching out a system that I want, the Denon receiver that I want, the Sony TV that I want, and Apple TV is going to play a major role. I'm going to try to make it a little more simple this time around, make sure I can get to the wiring a little easier. You know, if Apple wants to stay with the black brick, that's fine with me. But I'm crossing my fingers that the reignition of the Mac and Apple's reignition of 4K will inspire them to put some industrial design into this and make it kind of cool and swoopy. And it also will help buyers rationalize their new purchase too, because they're getting a device that looks more modern.
Yeah.
I really like it.
I know. You're weird that way, Jeff.
I am. And I love how my Apple TV just blends in with my television setup. And considering how little I have connected to my television, it's soon to be even less, because once we get the Amazon Prime app for Apple TV, my Fire Stick comes out of the mix. So, it's essentially an invisible device that does exactly what it's supposed to. So I guess the big thing for me is, will there be other features that make it worth upgrading? Because I don't have a 4K television.
Mm.
Yeah.
Good point.
The prices for the non-exotic 4K TVs, that means the ones that have Dolby Vision and are OLED, are very reasonable. I've seen prices in Costco, as I recall, for something like, 50-inch 4K TVs that have dynamic range but aren't particularly exotic. They're just standard LCD for, $800.
That's insane. I don't even know where I would put a 50-inch television. Anyhow, hey, we are out of time, so we need to wrap up. Jeff, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
It's always great to have both of you on. And listeners, thank you for joining me as well. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.